now, so let me just begin. From 1984 until 2013, I was privileged to be the pastor at Plaquemine Baptist Church in North Pole, Alaska. And from 2013 until a couple of months ago, I was an associate to Brother Demlow, and that numbered to 40 years of serving the people of Alaska. Amen. And so this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about my life and about Black Rose Baptist Church and brag on the Lord. In 1950, my sister and I were born in a hospital in Prineville, Oregon. We were the first twins in Wheeler County, Oregon. I was saved at 13 and baptized into the First Baptist Church of Fossil, Oregon, a sound New Testament church. When I was 16 years old, God made it very clear to me that He had called me to preach. And I made it as clear as I could to God that He could kill me, but I wasn't preaching. Well, God is merciful.
Amen.
In 1972, I graduated from Eastern Oregon College, and I moved back home and went to work for my father in the fuel oil business. And at that time, the First Baptist Church in Fossil, Oregon had a new pastor who was persistent as a wolf following a wounded caribou. I don't know if you've ever seen stories or documents and documentaries on that, but if a wolf will, usually they hamstring a caribou, but the caribou can still move, and the caribou will go through thousands of other caribou, and the wolf can run by thousands of other caribou. But that wolf stays on that one caribou. Well, that's the way this preacher was. And he came to me one day and he said, I'd like to ride with you on your fuel oil run and see some of the country. Well, we hadn't even been 5 minutes out of town. And he said, I hear you said you were called to preach at one time. Well, there it was out in the open. I couldn't run.
Yeah.
I couldn't jump out. And I wasn't going to lie to him.
Right.
Yeah. And so it wasn't long before he asked me to give a 5-minute devotion before Sunday school. I got up. I cried for 3 minutes, couldn't say a word, and went and sat back down and realized that I'd taken all the laps around Mount Sinai that I need to take. And I learned my lesson. And now 7 years later, at 23 years old, I surrendered to God's call upon my life. Because there was no biblical schooling for me in Oregon, I went off to a small Bible college in Dallas, Texas. I came from a county in Oregon that didn't even have one stoplight. And when I got close to Dallas, there were 6-lane freeways going both ways. They drew me a map how to get to the school, but they didn't draw me a map how to get out of there. And I probably would have left. But 6-lane freeways compared to where I came from was like a calf looking at a new gate. It didn't know what was going on. I remember struggling with 1 Corinthians 12:13. I knew what my church taught, but I also knew every time I would get a commentary, check out a book out of the College Library, these very wise men were all saying that there was two churches, a local and a universal, that there were two baptisms, water and Holy Spirit baptism, and that there were two bodies, a local body and a universal invisible body. And I remember the only quiet place I could find in the college dorm was in the bathroom. I'm glad there was two bathrooms, because I went in there and I locked the door and got on my knees and said, Lord, I got to know what the truth is.
Yeah.
And though it didn't develop fully there on my knees in that place, I come to the conclusion that the word by in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit I was baptized, was by the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And all the other bys in front of that in 1 Corinthians 12 is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit leads us as saved people to be baptized in by water into a New Testament church. And I come to understand that there's only one kind of church. Although the word church can be used in a generic sense, it's always in reference to a local situation, and over, it's local church. I next had to come and wrestle with 1 Corinthians 12, Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20, and that's already been well covered. But who did that apply to? And as was stated the other day, it couldn't apply to the apostles because they were all dead. It couldn't apply to an individual because he's not capable of fulfilling all of that, what's said. And so it had to be applied to an institution. And of course, there were in the church there apostles who were put in, were found in 1 Corinthians 12, that they were put into the church. And so after I settled all that in my heart, I became a card-carrying independent Baptist by conviction. I was by baptism, but now by conviction. Church perpetuity from the church Christ founded in his own personal ministry. Scriptural authority for baptism found in the New Testament church. The Lord's Supper closed except for church members. And fellowshipping with churches of like faith and practice. And so I began to think, I said, we, our stripe, as independent Baptists, will reach our world through cooperating in missions. And we, our stripe, will start colleges to educate our preachers. Then there came a day when I was in a conference, and this pastor from Pennsylvania, Doug Hammett, got up and he said, the Great Commission is given to each church independently. That the church I pastor was to teach its own. That the church I pastored was to have a vision for reaching the world and to walk through the doors that the Lord opened. And the church that I pastored, if it was the very last one on earth, had a responsibility to have a burden and a desire and an endeavor to reach its world. So I went to Plaquemine Baptist Church in 1984. In the winter of the second year, we started a Bible Institute, and I began to pray that the Lord would raise up men. About 5 years later, a man by the name of Dan Chase came whose family needed some healing. And our God, who is in the salvaging business, did just that. And it wasn't long to where God called Dan Chase to be a missionary to Brazil. It was a miracle.
Amen.
an absolute miracle. Then a couple of years later, a retired military man came. He liked our church. He wanted to join the church. And after questioning him, I had to tell him, we can't accept your baptism. If you want to join, you're going to have to be scripturally baptized. And Ron Lambert and his wife were baptized. He later surrendered to preach and later went down on the Kenai Peninsula in a little town called Nanilchik. And our church planted a church there in that place. It was a miracle. It was something only God could do.
Amen.
Brother Lambert there in the Kenai Peninsula met some young people, and some of those were attending University of Alaska Fairbanks in Fairbanks. And one of them was a brilliant-minded skeptic who was invited to church by one of our missionary sons that was back home and living and going to college. He came with his hair dyed yellow. I don't mean blonde, it was yellow. He had a little necklace on. And he questioned everything, but he kept coming to church. And he came for 1 year, and he was saved.
Amen.
It was a miracle. Nora George, who graduated with 2 degrees, and one of them was in physics, a brilliant-minded young man. His professors obtained for him a scholarship to a school, a college in California University, and if he would go there, he would graduate with a PhD in physics. When they told him of what they had set up for him, he told them, I'm not going. God has called me to preach.
Yeah, amen.
He'd come to Bible Institute and never take a note. And I noticed that, and I said, all right, we're going to have a pop quiz next time we meet. And we had a pop quiz, and he answered all the questions right. After 11 years on the field, today in Beirut, Lebanon, on Saturday evenings, he holds what he calls the outreach ministry or evangelism. And many times there's between 80 and 100 lost Arab people that come and listen. On Sunday, he has the church plant meet together. And even now that he's gone from there because of the war, it continues on.
Amen.
And all I can say to you is what is happening is nothing short of a miracle.
Amen.
We've heard this week, unto him be glory in the church, the first night, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Mission work has never been about a man. Whether a pastor or a missionary, it has never been about the dollar amount of your faith promise. Not against faith promise, but that's not what it's about. But it's about obeying what God has commanded every New Testament church to do, and him receiving the glory.
Yeah. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
I want to direct your attention again back to Matthew chapter 28 and that great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's only two commands in that verse. Go is not a command, but rather it's a participle, in going. He never ever questioned that we wouldn't go, in going. Make disciples. Teach. Make disciples. See folks saved. Baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. But the other command is the command, lo. It's a command. And it's spoken directly to New Testament churches. Lo, behold,
yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Understand that I am with you,
yeah, bless you, Lord.
Always, amen. Even until the end of the world. Packer Baptist Church has never been in the hundreds, closer to the 60s, but it's never been about our size, but it's been about his size.
Amen.
We've trained and sent out 3 men to plant churches, and as I've already said, each of those were a miracle. It's important to note that word pray. Pray ye therefore. A number of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I took on a really blessing assignment for myself. And the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So I went back into the Gospels, and I began to look at the imperatives, the Greek imperatives, what God, Jesus commanded, what is on the face of the earth. And boy, it's really, you know, I know Brother Sargent has ABCs of Christian growth, but the Lord also has his commands. And we really need to get back and look at some of those. It was really challenging me personally. But that's not a suggestion. It's a command. The God commands us to pray for laborers.
Amen.
He wants us to be actively involved in that praying. All means support other missionaries, like the Philippian church did. But pray for your own. Again, I get back to that concept that I thought, you know, that we, as this stripe of independent Baptists that I was connected with, we will do mission work. No. Black Road Baptist Church is to do mission work.
Right.
And God expects us to do mission work. And God expects us to love the world.
Yeah.
God expects us to pray. And so I wonder, really, have we prayed? Let me tell you, there's a bucket of snakes sometimes comes with that. Before we ordained Noah into the ministry, our church split. Satan did not want that man in the Muslim world. In training your own, I remember going to Houston, Texas at a preacher conference, and there were some preachers there from Cincinnati area, and they were really putting the screws on me to send preacher boys from our church to this college in Cincinnati. And they told us, Brother Chase was with me, they told us, if you're not careful, you're going to produce inbred men. And Brother Chase looked at them and said, We're not striving to produce inbred men, but we're striving to produce purebreds. And so I've learned a number of things, but let me point out three things that I've learned in 40 years. I've learned that we need to pray. And God answers how he wants to, and he'll answer in his time. But nevertheless, we need to pray for laborers. Whenever the Lord says do something, we should do it. To pray for laborers. And then I've learned that God's man, I think maybe Judson said this, but that God's man in God's place doing God's work for God's glory never has yet lacked God's supply. And then I've learned this, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen.
Bless you, Lord.
And things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In 1732, two Moravian missionaries, and as I did some study on that, the Moravians were actually Anabaptists, but I don't think they were Baptists at all. But they believed that you had to be saved before you were baptized. But John Dober and David Nisman boarded a sailing ship in 1732 from a port in Germany. And they were going to minister to the slaves of the West Indies. Many families and friends came down, and as the ship pushed away from the dock, over the water, with tears in their eyes, their relatives, realizing that they may never see them again, the two missionaries shouted from the deck of the ship, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." This is about the Lord's glory.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
And we need to get involved in it.
Right.